It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Trying times bring about trying times, trying to connect people. We're joined by Cynthia Hosswender, who's at the Lakeville Journal offices. Cynthia, good morning.
It's never been so clean here. I'm sitting and wiping everything down.
And Janet, how clean is it at your house?
Well, you know, I try to wipe it down too, but really the Lakeville Journal building is probably the cleanest one around because very few of us have been there, and we've only been going in, you know, in shifts.
Carefully.
There's one or two of us in there at a time, so.
Yep. All right. Well, of course, the reason we do things like this and like yesterday also proved out very interesting because the Region 1 ABC meeting was held via telephone from distant locations is the coronavirus. And, you know, it's all over the news and it's all over the front pages. I was looking at today's stats from the state of Connecticut, and there's three known virus locations in Salisbury, one in Sharon, one in Kent. But the amazing thing, and I don't know if you find this amazing, both of you, is that the 60 plus is only like third place on the list in Connecticut for the virus. In between 20 and 59, those ones are ahead of the older people, which is a little different than it is in the rest of the country.
Well, also in the rest of the state, where you had the initial reports of people who had died from the virus were over 80. So the people that, and then the first case of somebody who's tested positive, but happy to say seems to be doing okay and did not need to be hospitalized, is 57. And then anecdotally, I have two friends who are my age, which is late 50s, who just took the test and think they might have it. So we'll hope that we don't have a high death rate here, and we will hope that everybody is staying in, although I am not in right now, and that we will continue to be responsible. Two interesting things that are not in the paper this week is so many people are getting cabin fever and have been really happy to go out and hike, and they've just closed the Appalachian Trail because there were too many people who were hiking on it, and the Appalachian Trail Conservancy, which is down in Virginia, felt that they couldn't guarantee safe social distancing on the trail, so they've asked to be this, you know, they can't close the trail.
They're asking people not to go, yeah.
Stay off it. But then the flip side of that is that the governor very quietly, I think yesterday or the day before, declared that it's legal to fish now. Usually it's the second Saturday, I think, in April when the first day of fishing is held. It's always sort of a big festival, and we always do a lot of photos of it, and we go out, and people come from all over the state to Lakeville Lake and to the local rivers. But Governor Lamont very quietly opened fishing because fishing, of course, as we know, is a very solitary activity, or can be. So he was hoping to keep people from going out en masse for that first day of fishing. But it is AC out there, so please do be careful.
You know, it's interesting when you mentioned about the Appalachian Trail, where I live on the way up to the Appalachian Trail, one of the segments on Mount Riga, all last weekend. There was just a string of people. I mean, literally probably 100 people went up and down that day. So, well, let's get to the main story. By the way, the U.S., the unemployment claims were just released. 3.3 million people last week filing for unemployment. At the height of the Great Depression, 660,000. Pretty amazing numbers. We'll see what happens, though. So let's go to the first story that you've got with you, Cynthia, and that is the confirmed COVID-19 cases on the rise in our area.
And, of course, you know, we're happy to be an essential business, and we really did feel somewhat essential on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday as the reports of the first cases were coming in. And we had done a fairly in-depth story at the Sharon Healthcare Center of that first case, of the woman who's 57 and had been there in long-term care, and they're still investigating how that case came in. But that story was subsequently replaced when two other cases were reported, one in Sharon and one in Salisbury and one in Kent. And so we've pushed a lot of our stories this week onto our website, which is, we're happy to report back up, at tricornernews.com. So for details of that, and in a way, I have to say, it was not lucky, but it was interesting that first case was at an institutional setting, which is part of a larger corporation, Athena Healthcare Systems, and we were fortunate to have Tim Brown being very, very frank with us and very honest about the situation. The subsequent cases, the one in Kent and the one in Salisbury, the ones now in Salisbury, we really can't get any information on. The first Salisbury case that we heard was supposedly a younger person, but around here we don't know quite what that means. It could mean somebody who's 70.
That's right.
we do know it's not somebody at Noble Horizons, and we know it's not somebody at the Hotchkiss School. It could be one of the other schools, but we are under the impression that this, because I spoke to Rob Rubo from the Torrington Area Health District for this article that's actually in the print edition. He's the head of what is the health care, the health department for our county, except for the town of Sharon.
And I will tell you that the new website, tricornernews.com, is very easy to navigate. I went there to look at it, and it's important, folks. Our Facebook presence, this last week alone, have had 100 and some odd thousand visits. Now, that's people repeat over and over and over again. But it's a great way to get the information out, and it's great that you've got your website back up, tricornernews.com.
We're using our Facebook page and Instagram as well, and Cynthia's been updating on Instagram, and we've been using Facebook to get news out and certainly have people share it with us.
Absolutely. All right. Another story, and that is from Millerton, New York, advice and memories of coping with a plague from a Millerton doctor.
So we had an interesting story that actually we held out and we're running next week, where we interviewed Garth Cobal, who had been in New York at the height of the AIDS crisis, talking about how it felt to be in a different kind of a plague twice in his lifetime. And he was we were talking about Dr. Fauci, who has been such a hero to so many people in the way that he's been handling the information on COVID-19. And he said, boy, you know, he was really a huge hero to us in the AIDS crisis, the early days of the AIDS crisis, because he was really the doctor that kind of pushed the government and said, we need to find a treatment for this, and we need to do it fast. And it reminded me that Christy Schmidt in Millerton, it was a doctor who had really become a doctor largely because she had such concern for HIV/AIDS patients and was really there on the front lines in the West Village at St. Vincent's. So Deb Alexinas called her up to do an interview with her, and it turned out that Christy had been seeing so many patients with upper respiratory and fever and was concerned that that she was developing symptoms, and so she had quarantined herself and got a test from her doctor up in Albany. So interesting interview by Deb with Dr. Schmidt, very beloved doctor from Millerton. And we're going to have a follow-up to this next week where we'll find out whether or not Dr. Schmidt does, in fact, have COVID-19. But also she talks a lot about telemedicine in this article. In next week's article, she'll talk a lot about AIDS and the AIDS plague in the early 80s, 90s in New York City.
One thing I've been pointing out with this whole crisis is that it's so great to see Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey basically kind of band together and offer the same, not quite as strict, but the same response to this virus. I think that's really important to help stop it from spreading in a whole tri-state region as well.
And so when we get to A2, we'll talk about the story, but I think that was very much a coordinated, conscious effort, because so many people are now moving back and forth between their New York City residences and here. And the governors spoke and felt that if they didn't have the same restrictions state to state, that there was no point in having them. So we're hoping that people will follow what Governor Cuomo says are not helpful hints. These are people are expected to follow these.
And you've got a nice picture of baby lambs.
I love
it. Goes on beautifully. It's true. And then Chris Murphy.
Chris Murphy. You know,
he's no baby lamb.
He'll be handsome. You know. Chris Murphy had a town hall meeting on Friday evening. Patrick Sullivan reported on it. I think a lot of us listened in on it, and in fact had somebody from here, Richard from Falls Village, I'm going to guess is Richard Lanier, but I don't know. But a lot of people asking questions about testing and about insurance. A lot of people talking about, you know, how are we going to make it through this economically? And so I would say he was reassuring, but not overly reassuring. But an interesting report from Patrick.
All right, below that, resilient scene in New England's habitats and skies.
So Jody Bronson from the Great Mountain Forest and Roger Liddell from Sharon. So Roger, of course, is an investment guy. And so for him, his whole world is seismically shifting hour to hour. But he's an astronomer, and he's been writing for us about astronomy. And both he and Jody reminding us that that nature is still pretty stable around us, even though it feels like everything is so topsy-turvy right now.
As we go inside, and your article that you're talking about, you're new around here, aren't you? What's great about this article is it's a welcoming article. What we've tried to say to people all along this past 10 days that we've been covering this is the people that left New York early and came up here, once again, there's been so much disjointed information from the federal government, they never even realized that they might potentially have it. So I like to see this story like this, a warming story, which, hey, you're up here. This is what's offered between government, police, and stuff. I think this does a great service for those people that have come up here.
So we've been hearing from people going out to Long Island, which has turned out to be a hot spot, that they were not as welcoming. And I think so far, you know, you're starting to hear a little bit of people saying, like, I hope they're not bringing that virus up here. But the sense I get is that most New Yorkers who are coming up here are being pretty responsible about quarantining themselves. And, you know, a lot of people are coming back from Florida right now and, of course, traveling through airports. Again, they seem to be doing a pretty good job of quarantining themselves pretty strictly. And, of course, we have such a high percentage of people over the age of 65, which is an at-risk group. And I think that those people are super conscious about it. So let's try and all be patient and supportive. But also for people who are new up here, you know, do remember that life has been going on sort of quietly in its own way, that, you know, people will appreciate it if you don't go to the grocery stores and hoard, if you're sensitive and supportive to your emergency volunteer workers.
And I want to, before we go on to the pages, and Janet, you can chime in here, but I want to speak on behalf of ourselves and the Lakeville Journal. Our advertising is basically going down to nil. We're not going to charge people that can't afford to pay, and businesses are having a tough time. So if there ever was a time to support your local media, however you can support it monetarily, this is the time, more than ever.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so we go on and we look in the Falls Village Salisbury page. Once again, Falls Village, business slower, public emergency in Falls Village, things quiet in Salisbury, and a great picture of Stephanie Pellegrino.
She's so funny. And so, there's all these things that you don't think about, but of course, pet supplies, super essential business right now. And so Stephanie is, all of our business stories are changing, you know, sometimes twice in a day, but so far Stephanie's still able to keep open at Pet Puri in Lakeville. People with their beloved pets, you know, if you've got a pet that's on a particular diet, you don't really want to be changing it right now. It can be sort of, you know, digestively traumatic for your pet. So thank you to Stephanie for staying open at Pet Puri. We have a lot of business stories that we did this week that we actually were not able to fit in the print edition. So if you go online to tricornernews.com, you can read, for instance, Deb Alexinas has a nice update on some Kent businesses, but we didn't want to hold them until next week's print edition because it's possible that some of these businesses will be closed by next week. So we'll hope that the businesses that are open, that we can all safely support them while they're still there.
You know, you've got a story about Gifford's Market. You know, they were one of the first businesses that donated to us when we made the announcement that if you couldn't pay your bill, that we wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't matter to us. And they were one of the first businesses that donated to us.
Yeah, they're great. And they're in Kent and Sharon.
Yep.
They have two chef owners. And Noel Embry spoke to both of them. Or actually, no, he spoke mostly to Mike Moriarty. And they're doing different things to cope. They're very different stores. And I had said to Noel as he was starting the story, you know, ask them if they're being really hurt by the fact that the private schools are closed. And he said, no, surprisingly, there's still a lot of kids on campus. There's a lot of faculty. And he said, as several businesses have said to me, weirdly, they think of March as being a very slow month normally. It's actually been a very busy month for a lot of groceries and restaurants. So we're happy for those restaurants that are able to keep going at this difficult time.
And also on this page, updates from Sharon, Kent, and our good friends at the Sharon Pharmacy. It's going to be okay.
Right. Again, the Hecox has been in business since 1961, seeing a lot of stuff go up and down. Joe Hecox spoke to Lila Hawken and just said, you know, it's not going to be okay right away, but it's going to be okay. So don't panic. Don't hoard. And, of course, you know, Iris Smith, the Kent Wine and Spirit, always puts him in a good mood when you talk to him. He's so funny. And he said, you know, business owners always, if you ask them how's business, if it's bad, they say business is good. If it's good, they say business is good. So he said business is good. He said, you know, a lot of people, nobody hoarding wine and spirits yet. But he said it's been fairly steady business, but they're mostly doing curbside pickup. And interestingly, of course, the government has said liquor store is an essential business.
All right, on the Cornwall North Canaan page, it's, we can break away for once. There's a new principal for the Cornwall Consolidated School.
Yeah, people seem super enthusiastic about her. Mary Kay Ravanella, a master teacher and experienced administrator, so she'll be coming to the school at the end of summer. They've been very happy, I think, with their temporary principal, Pat Carvalho, and looking forward to having a really experienced hand at the tiller there. And a lot of those meetings I know were held by Skype, and then Lila went to a budget meeting that was held on Zoom, I think. So my reporter is getting very spoiled by this whole sort of staying home and watching meetings on Zoom. They're really enjoying it. So we'll see what life is like for them when they have to get back in the car and go out.
And the budget meetings by phone, that's right. And yesterday the ABC had two meetings by Zoom for people to tune in.
Yeah, Patrick was enjoying that. It's great. You can see where everybody lives, too.
That's right. It's really
interesting. It's a whole new meeting etiquette, isn't it? Zoom now taking over. So.
It really is. It's pretty amazing.
They'll have to shave. And then State Line Pizza, really a favorite restaurant of ours here at the Lakeville Journal now that we're in Falls Village. Very scrappy, very good food, full menu, and very, very worried. He's trying to keep as much of his staff on as he can. He's got the waitresses doing deliveries. They're very friendly and fun, so do give them a call. They don't normally do delivery. They're doing it just for the period of the quarantine, and what the heck, they may keep going.
All right, and we'll go to the editorial page, an abnormally challenging time of a public health crisis.
Right, we're just considering all that we're dealing with now and how our local, state, and federal governments are serving us and look forward to the future and how we can get there in the best shape we can. So give it a read. By all means, share your thoughts. We are committed to keeping publishing during this period. It could be that at some point we are not in print and we are online only, depending upon how the post office operates and how the stores that sell single copy sales are operating or not, or people are going out or not. So all of those things are variables, but by all means, keep in touch with us and send us letters to the editor. We have two this week, one from Elise Harney about church bells ringing, which, is all good, and one from Dawn Sherbin in West Cornwall about littering.
And the very poignant social distancing cartoon from Peter Steiner.
Yeah, Peter has a very unique take on it, and so simple, but says it all. And we have from Dick Ollis, another respite from COVID-19, talking about New England's first socialist mayor, and it was not Bernie.
No, it wasn't. Bernie was a latecomer.
That's right, compared to Jasper. And Dick tells us all about him.
All right. And going back 100 years, the bluebirds and robins have arrived, and they're mighty welcome visitors.
Yeah. And anybody who sees, the robins and the bluebirds now, still the same, isn't it, no matter what the timing is. So keep your eyes out for these signs of spring, and we'll all try to make it through this. But, it's always interesting to look back at 25, 50, 100 years ago.
It's amazing, absolutely.
Since that's such a beloved part of the paper, we're actually, as we move forward, it seems like most of the towns are figuring out ways to do their meetings, so we'll continue to do meeting coverage, but it feels like this is a time when we may start doing a little bit more of that old-fashioned style of reporting where we just sort of say, here's what people are doing.
That's exactly what we've been resorting to here at the radio station. And you can't even plan like a week ahead of time. It's a day by day thing. You look at what comes up each day, and what might come up each day. Let's go to your compass, which has actually quite a bit of stuff in it.
Yeah, we feel that people are home reading and binge watching right now, and we have a few books that our writers had reviewed. We're happy to have Rob Buccino writing about Philip Pullman, who wrote the, The Compass Trilogy? Very popular writer, clearly not somebody that I know tons about, but there was the movie made with Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman, so he's got a new entry in the series. It's called The Secret Commonwealth, in a new trilogy called The Book of Dust. And so, and Rob, a wonderful writer, very interesting review. And then if everybody's sick of singing happy birthday twice when you wash your hands, there's a website called Wash Your Lyrics. We explain how to use it. But you can take any song you like and specify the singer, because different singers sing songs at different rates, and then they plug the song into their program, and it gives you 20 seconds worth of lyrics so that you know exactly how long to wash your hands for. And then James Barron, who actually emailed me this morning and reminded me, his gallery is largely virtual now anyway, because people are just not coming into galleries. And he'd pointed out that a lot of New York galleries are actually now going virtual as well. So they've got to show up. He and his wife lived in Italy, and their two children lived in Italy for many years. They still have a small apartment there, and they travel there quite a bit, and very connected to the Italians. And I think people have been very moved by some of these Facebook posts of how the Italians have been coping, and you know, the tenor who was singing Nessun Dorma from his balcony to his son, and people having house parties out on their balconies of their apartments and singing to each other from apartment to apartment. So I think we've been admiring the scrappiness of the Italians in this difficult time. So he's got a new show up of work by all Italians, and you can find out how to see it virtually or in person, I guess, at their gallery in Kent in their barn.
And
information's in the article.
I just want to plug the Movie House in Millerton. By the way, the drive-in was deemed non-essential by New York State in Armenia. But the Movie House is doing something very interesting where you can get tickets, and they feature a couple of movies every other different day that can be digitally delivered to your house.
They've also started a GoFundMe campaign. Yeah. So we're going to try and aggregate on in our paper for April 2nd some of these efforts that local people are making to help support businesses, and one of them is a group has put together funds for the Movie House. I think they're trying to collect $25,000. I think they collected $12,500 in the first 4 days.
Yeah, well, we just started one last night to help cover some of the costs because we're going to be losing underwriting announcements, and we've raised almost $1,500 in a matter of 7 or 8 hours. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we're a nonprofit. We don't know how we'll fit into the SBA plans. We hope that we'll fit in and we'll be able to do it. But if not, we'll need help from the community. And the same thing for the Lakeville Journal.
That's right. I think all of us in small businesses feel the same way as far as the stimulus legislation that's going on in Washington right now. You know, in the tri-state area, especially the northwest corner, we're not usually first on the list for any kind of governmental help, and we need to find a way to survive to keep our area vibrant, you know, on into the future. So now is the time, Marshall, you're right, to support all of those entities you would like to see survive through this. And, you know, there are many, and they're all part of the fabric of this community. So, yeah, please do support all of us if you can.
All right. And, of course, once again, tricornernews.com is up and running. It's a brand new site, and it's fully loaded, and it's very easy to navigate. And, of course, while your store is still open, you can pick it up at various locations throughout the region, and of course, via mail for now.
Right. And the Millerton News as well has wide coverage of what's happening in Dutchess County and New York State. And we have Tri-Corner Real Estate in the paper this week for anyone who is looking for a property. You can find it there.
All right.
All right.
We'll speak to you guys next week. Be safe.
You safe. You too. Be
Thanks
well.
So much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com on the web.